Hello listeners, welcome back to the Bike Wale Podcast, your weekly two-wheeler show where we talk everything about related to two-wheelers, motorcycles, scooters, superbikes, small, big and whatnot. So today we are going to talk on a topic that is going to be very interesting, I'm sure, because this is not something we are talking about, say riding skills or something technical or very practical actually, but this is something me and Neil, being wishful thinkers, something we want in every two-wheeler that is sold in India or across the globe. And but before we begin, let me introduce you to our old guest who is not really new for us. Welcome to the show, Neil.
What's up, guys?
So that was a very short greeting from Neil. And this podcast, this episode idea was actually suggested by Neil, because every time we ride, being journalists, we ride so many motorcycles, and constantly there is this need felt for some things in every other two-wheeler, that and those things we listed down. So we are going to tell you what that list is, and for every feature that we want in every two-wheeler, we will be giving you a justification as to why we really want it, although we know that it's not really needed. You all will relate to that these things really should be there in every motorcycle, scooter, big, small. And so without any further ado, let's jump right into the topic. And so Neil, should I begin?
Sure.
Yeah. So the first feature that we want in every other two-wheeler is turn-by-turn navigation system. And I can't really put enough emphasis on why we want this feature, because so in this day and age, people really like to explore new places. In that process, you are quite bound to, get lost in the unknown. And it is at such times when turn-by-turn navigation really comes handy. And apart from that, what else do you think, Neil, is why do you think turn-by-turn navigation is important?
So, we have been seeing turn-by-turn navigation in newer bikes, like the Meteor, the X-Pulse, even the new Classic has it, and even scooters like the Bergman Street have it.
And started with the TVS and Torque.
Oh, yeah. And we have been using the turn-by-turn navigation, and we feel that it's a really useful feature, although right now it might feel, very gimmicky, might feel very fancy, but it's very useful considering, that nowadays people are looking to ride their motorcycles more, are looking to ride in general and looking to find new places. That explore, the feeling of exploring new places is...
Exploration is the new cool, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So... turn-by-turn navigation, actually helps. And the other thing is, you don't have to put an additional phone mount or risk your phone getting robbed in some unknown place. All of that. Plus, it's just a feel-good feature for those who actually want a lot of features in their motorcycle.
Yeah, and also, as you know, there are people like me who can't really remember roads.
Yeah, of course you can.
So, yeah, that's one of my main problems. And it's for people like us that turn-by-turn navigations are really useful. As Neil said, you don't need to have an extra phone mount, which makes it prone to, fall off or in some way get the phone damage. Or if it's raining, you have to carry an extra protection, rain protection for your phone. So in that way, turn-by-turn navigation, we feel should be there in every small scooter or even a commuter bike. But then there's...
Also, do you remember we were speaking about this to one of our colleagues, and he said in his opinion, turn-by-turn navigation was not very useful because, you can't actually see the map, like in your Google Maps, like in your phone. And I thought differently of that because... you don't really need to see the entire map.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because turn-by-turn navigation, at least the tripper navigation from Royal Enfield is quite precise. And, it even has this color.
Correct.
You know, if you're getting closer to the destination, it becomes red and stuff like that. So that is actually quite cool. And, you know, it actually does work.
Right, right. And also the system which is available on the X-Pulse also, although it's not, doesn't look as fancy as RE stripper navigation, but still it's, you can use that on a daily basis.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not a problem, but yeah, we agree that one main challenge that manufacturers will face is the cost. It has to, it will increase the cost of the overall vehicle.
Of course.
But now that we have been seeing, two-wheelers are getting expensive, so expensive anyway.
Yeah.
So including such a small thing shouldn't be a big deal for manufacturers.
I don't think including a dual channel ABS also should matter, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a few months back, the government made it mandatory for 150cc and above motorcycles to have ABS. So, because
a few
of
years
that,
back actually, but
yeah, I think two
this
years
was in
back,
2019 that the mandate came out.
Correct. Yeah. Before the emission norms.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So now that it is mandatory, manufacturers are just doing away by installing single channel ABS. Mm. But ABS in itself is a very useful safety feature. It, as most of you will know, it's obvious that it prevents the wheel from locking up and you sliding. But so in a way, sliding is also fun. You, when you have single channel ABS, your rear wheel can lock up and you can slide. But sliding is fun for people who have been riding for a long time, who are experienced enough to actually enjoy that feeling. Because I remember my early days when my rear wheel would lock up in emergency braking, I would be really scared. And that wouldn't be a good feeling for me initially. And a lot of new riders or youngsters are getting into motorcycle riding directly instead of, you know, progressing from scooters. So they are subjected to decent amount of power, like 150cc, 250cc bikes have decent amount of power to actually scare someone who is riding bikes, who have just started riding motorcycles. So in that sense, we feel that dual channel ABS also has to be there, not only safety point of view, but you know, it helps new riders to learn riding.
Yeah, I mean, right now, single channel ABS is just because manufacturers had to, you know, equip your motorcycles, equip the motorcycles with ABS. It's why single channel ABS is currently present. You know, it actually doesn't have that much of a purpose,
right,
you know, compared to dual channel ABS, obviously.
Correct. And I will take our wishful thinking a step ahead here, and I will say that if manufacturers can really give switchable ABS on the rear wheel, so that when people think that they have gained enough experience or their skills have been improved enough that they can really switch off the ABS at the rear wheel, that would be great. But then it will really drastically increase the cost of motorcycles. So yeah, dual channel ABS, even if it's non-switchable, still it has to be there on every motorcycle, I think. And then moving on, we feel enough storage compartments should also be there.
Yeah, on motorcycles, not on scooters.
Scooters already have them, but even if we are talking about scooters, there are plenty of scooters like say Activa, which doesn't get enough storage, although it is one of the highest selling scooters, not one of the, but the highest selling scooter
by a huge margin
in India, by a huge margin. Yeah. And but it doesn't have storage compartment on the front, no glove box or open or closed, no glove box. Whereas
yeah,
if you see,
not a standard at least.
Yeah, it is there as an accessory.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's you get those net kind of basket, or you have the glove box also.
You have so you have this retrofitted box.
Okay.
So
is it
locked? Doesn't have a lot of
space.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of storage space, but it kind of does the work.
Yeah.
But right now we are speaking about storage compartments in motorcycles.
Mm.
You know, we've found the need to store our wallets probably when it's raining, and we've been fools not carrying our rain gear. So, you know, just stashing your wallet in or your phone in, a lot of motorcycles don't actually offer that. For example, now, Anuj, you have got the Duke 200.
Mm.
You open up your seat, the max you can put is your medical kit and your papers, and you can't actually remove them because they are necessary, right?
Yeah.
You can't stash anything else in them.
That's true.
So, you know, even like a something like a mini storage compartment will actually be quite helpful, especially in motorcycles.
And now some of you may argue that why not install panniers? But the panniers actually...
they serve a completely different purpose. And we are talking about, you know, just everyday small things like your wallet and your phone.
Correct, correct. And some on some bikes, panniers don't really look good. They completely spoil the overall aesthetics of a motorcycle. For example, if you want to have it on the R15, I have never seen a person having panniers or you know, storage boxes on the R15, but still R15 is something that people use on daily basis. So they have to have some storage compartment. I was also talking to Neil before recording this that so these fully fed motorcycles, they have some hollow spaces on the front around the instrument cluster area where they can, where manufacturers should install at least small cubby holes. But then
talk about wishful thinking, Anuj.
I mean, but then it would hamper the overall geometry of the bike, the overall weight distribution. So even installing a cubby hole or a, you know, storage compartment won't increase the weight too much on the front. But when you go on to, you know, store a filled Bisleri bottle or something that is heavy, and if it's not even on both sides, so that's gonna hamper the overall handling of the bike. So that's out of the equation. But yeah, manufacturers can think of some smart design, implementing something very smartly under the seat or at the front or at the back, you know, somewhere on the motorcycle, which will, as Neil said, can at least hold your small wallet or some small bottle or your phone, chargers and stuff like that. And so moving on, the next thing we feel should be there on every two-wheeler are hazard lamps. Again, just like turn-by-turn navigation, we can't put enough emphasis on this because this serves as a great safety feature, especially when you have parked your bike in the dark. Actually, a lot of manufacturers have already started giving this feature, but it seems like only those motorcycle riders need safety in the dark, which shouldn't be a case. Even a scooter, even a small commuter should have that feature. You know, at times what happens is when you're riding on the highway and your engine shuts or your tire blows, and there are n number of things which can happen in the middle of the road, and you want to pull up your bike on beside the road, but in that time oncoming traffic or cars might not notice that your engine, I mean, you are stationary on the road, and they might just you know, they might not reduce their speed and they would just bang into you, crash into you. So there are a lot of reasons why hazard lamp should be there on every two-wheeler. What do you think, Neil, about hazard lamps? Have you faced any difficulty, or you can put emphasis on this point?
So I'm pretty sure a lot of you have seen a lot of scooter riders without helmets, you know, zipping past you with their hazard lamps like blinking, you know, in a very
they want to make their presence felt in a way.
It is so as we call it in Mumbai, you know, like bantai like but that is not our purpose of, you know, actually wanting hazard lamps. And although they look cool sometimes, but that kind of cool is different. And as Anuj said, you know, it's not necessary only motorcycles should have hazard lamps. I think it's a very basic safety feature,
right?
And actually quite easy to install compared to the rest of the our exorbitant list. I think hazard lamps are quite easy to install.
So you already have turn blinkers on your bike, so you can have
you
them as hazard
lamps
also. Correct
to actually.
And so as Neil talked about bantais, I've seen people installing auxiliary hazard lamps just to show off their hazard lamps, which shouldn't be, which is not the actual purpose of hazard lamps, which is actually quite funny. But anyway, the next thing I feel should be there on every two-wheeler is a side stand engine cutoff switch or engine inhibitor, which is a, you know, term which a lot of manufacturers use. So all of you must have seen, or even we have seen, people who have their side stand engaged and they start riding, and while taking a left turn, left hander, their stand scrapes. It acts as a resistant to their lean, and they tend to crash or wobble or get disturbed in a way. So in that sense, side stand engine cutoff should also be there. It should be mandatory for every two wheeler to have, and it also adds a sense of convenience, you know, if you are stopping somewhere at a signal, not at a signal, or you are, if you are parking your bike somewhere, you just pull out your side stand and your engine shuts off. So that's a pretty cool thing to have.
And won't it be liberating to actually know that if every motorcycle came with a side stand engine cutoff switch, you won't have to shout at that guy with a stand down, bhaiya, stand upar karo.
Right. I mean, seriously. And this thing especially happens in India, people. So out of India, a lot of countries where people ride big bikes or premium bikes, expensive bikes, which is not really the case in India. In India, a lot of, I mean, most of the two-wheelers come without this feature, side stand engine cutoff, and accidents tend to happen. And people being protective, as Neil said, they tell them with weird gestures that your side stand is down. So in a way, it overall disturbs the traffic also. So yeah, side stand engine inhibitor should be there. And another thing on our list is adjustable levers. Some people have small fingers, some of them have really long fingers, and the reach of the clutch or brake lever from the handlebar might not be appropriate for them. And again, this is not a very expensive thing to install. A manually it's just a small adjustment you need to do on the overall clutch and brake area, but it serves a really good purpose, which acts as a very convenient thing to have on bikes and even scooters for that matter. I mean, scooters anyway have levers which are within your reach, but some people might feel that it is too close. And I'll tell you this, that if you have clutch or brake levers far enough from your handlebar, it gives you a feeling of having better control on your brake or clutch, because you know how much to pull and how much to release. It might sound like a very strange thing, but you should try this on two different bikes. Something on a bike which has levers very close to the handlebar and another which has far away. So it gives you a more sense of control over the clutch and brake levers. Neil, you want to add anything here?
No.
Or have I covered everything?
Yeah, I think that covers everything. We had another weird feature on this list, and that was LED headlamps, although we had to, after some pondering, we actually had to chuck that out. But I'd really like LED headlamps on every motorcycle or scooter. And the reason we had to chuck it out is because Anuj had a very fair point, saying that it's not necessary that LEDs are, you know, more powerful or they are brighter than halogen lamps. But if you see on these smaller commuter motorcycles, their halogen lamps aren't very powerful. And most of these motorcycles, most of these scooters which are sold in rural areas, there's not a lot of lighting over there in the dark, right? There are not a lot of street lights.
Correct.
And those headlamps aren't actually useful over there.
Right.
So comparatively, for those motorcycles, LED headlamps, you know, should work actually.
Hmm. And as per my experience, LED headlamps also last longer than your conventional bulbs. So that longevity factor is also there with LED headlamps. But I think that sums up our list here, and these are the things we really want in all of our two-wheelers which we see around. And if you people think there is something else you want on every two-wheeler, do write into us. I'll be giving you the email ID at the end of the show, as I do in every episode. But so that's all from our side, and I'll repeat this once again, that these are something that is really impractical, that might be really impractical for some manufacturers to install, but we feel that manufacturers should find some way or the other to have these features and raise up the overall convenience quotient of their two-wheelers. So thank you, Neil. Thank you for joining me on this episode. It was great having a conversation with you on this, and this idea was also quite brilliant, I think.
Thanks.
And so that's all from our side for this week, and do write into us at podcast@bikewale.com. follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and do not hesitate to write back to us about your opinions on our podcast episodes. And also check out our official YouTube channel, Bike Wale YouTube channel, where we have a lot of reviews and other informative videos. We'll see you next week.